the practice athleticism for many years, and I was deeply interested about the Olympic Games. I mean, I worked for years upon a huge book of all the Olympic Games. I'm like an historian. And there I was in Los Angeles, the game was going to occur, and I wouldn't be able to see it. I would be in Encinitas working. You know, what's happened to me? I became paralyzed. Again, I became, something happened to my spine, I couldn't move anymore, I couldn't go to Encinitas. I had to stay in bed where I saw the opening of the Olympic Games. So even though I had said to the Lord, say, Lord, it does not matter, my Lord. I had said it before. Even though I have no more, I was really indifferent. Still, that desire was so strong in my subconscious mind, it had to be fulfilled. And therefore, it was some way to fulfilling it there, lying on your bed in pain. Now, the talk I'm going to give to you tonight, I took it from the desire that satisfies all desire. Those books of Paramahansa Yogananda are impregnated with the wisdom of God. As he said, when I will be gone, the teaching will be the Guru, for I have impregnated every single word with the spirit of my Father. Therefore, it is very important that each one of you, I have one book like that, study every day a passage of it and learn something new which is necessary for you. The moment you are in tune with the will of God, that is, you study every day, you will open the book and find exactly what you have to know. So you have the science of religion, who talk especially about desires, and you have the man's eternal quest. This is the same material we monks, nuns, ministers, and everything I'm going to tell you is right inside. So, of course, the way I study it, I take one line after the other and think and dissect it. What is the meaning of that line for me? You don't take a general outlook of philosophy. What does it mean to me? And what kind of practical means I'm going to gain by studying such a master? You have to make it your own. You are not reading a novel, a book, a philosophical dissertation. You are learning a book of strategy applying for your daily life, and you will find God talking to you. I mean, it's phenomenal. Things happen to me when I need something. You know, it's incredible. That is the way I prepare my service, actually. I say, Lord, what do you want to tell me? So, today I will speak of the deadliest weapon of Maya against you and me. Desire, my great enemy. It is why we are still here in the human form. Why? Because we have allowed ourselves to be hypnotized by cosmic Maya of illusion, by who ceaselessly suggests to us desire. The mother said, as a person under hypnotic influence can be made to act as if he were a different personality, so God have also thought of himself and hypnotized them with the delusion of Maya in perceiving themselves as encased in an animal or a human body. We are not in the body now, never were we or never will we be, but we are necessary to hypnosis which make it real. So the Master said the hypnotized person cannot get out of his unreal state without being hypnotized by someone else, by wisdom, self-analysis, and by the grace of God, man can get himself de-hypnotized from cosmic delusion and forever forsake his recurring dreams of incarnations. This dream we are living now is not different from the dream you are experiencing at night. Both are unreal. Now that requires realization to realize that. He can then return to the perception of the pure soul united to the spirit in the dreamless state of blessedness. Man's attachments keep the soul confined to the body prison and prevent it from finding freedom in God, in the realm of eternal bliss. The ego attempts to satisfy through material channels the soul's constant and insatiable longing for God. All of us has within ourselves a deep inner loneliness which no human being can fulfill. You can be totally in love with your husband, you can be filled up to here with the love, the human love, Yet that love cannot reach what God has made for himself alone. As it say, nature heal all wounds except those marked by love, and that love is marked by God. So far from accomplishing this objective, ego-driven sense gratification only increases man's misery. The soul hunger can never be appeased by indulging the senses. When man realizes and masters his ego, that is when he achieves self-control and life becomes glorified by God's bliss while he's still in the flesh. And none of us are going to make it until we realize it here and now. Here and now. Material desires and ego or body consciousness go together. Body consciousness gives rise to material desires. So long as a man identifies himself with this material body and fail to repose in his true self, he feels one according as his heart's desire remain unsatisfied. To satisfy them, he has to appear often flesh and blood on the stage of life, subject to the influence of darkness, Maya, and has to suffer all the troubles of life and death, not only in the present, but in the future as well. There are this body. Those five senses are the five chains which keep our soul bound to our body. Therefore, where do you start? You start the way you eat. When you begin to fast, Martha say, to spiritualize your body and your mind, you learn to fast once a week, to live more and more by life force and less by physical material in your body. The more you begin to transfer your body consciousness on food and eating, and the more you begin to feel free from constant hunger, then you begin to withdraw from your body. This body attachment is based upon food. That's why all the yogis, the great yogis, are ascetics. And the first thing they do, they begin to use food only what the body needs, not to enjoy their whole life in eating food. All mortals are under Maya and will make mistakes until they have realized their soul's nature. No outward contact can ever remove a man from Maya delusion. Now remember that. No outward contact, no matter what good you do, can remove a man from Maya delusion. Only purification of the heart through steady elimination of our egotistic nature is effective against Maya. Now remember, whatever your human desires, you have to come back on earth to fulfill those desires. So remember, if a single little desire remains before you die, you'll have to come back here. And even if you die disgusted with the world, you'll have to return again to the world to perceive it differently. Now there lies a serious problem. You have to become very positive about everything, realizing that this whole school, that cosmic UCLA, subserve a divine purpose. Every negative situation, as Sri Dayamata used to tell me, he complained there is not enough love. Put it there. There is not enough kindness among people. Put it there. Are you part of the problem, or are you going to help me to solve the problem by acting properly? Wherever there is negativeness, bring positiveness. Because if you die frustrated about the abominable 20th century, you're going to come back in the 20th century somewhere else, similar to it. That's what I call the grateful death. So even if you are disgusted with the world, you will have to return again to the world to perceive it differently. But if you find immortality, you do not have to come back. Do you want to come back? Master is asking that, do you want to come back? Yes, if it is of our own free choice. But when you are forced to come back, whether you like it or not, it is not freedom. Reincarnation is good if you are a master. When you come on earth and take others back to God, it is what Jesus taught. Therefore, you must remember that the greatest of all mental tendencies, material desire, reigns supreme in the person who does not meditate. Rajasri Janakananda said, the most shaft of Maya is unwillingness to meditate. This prevents you to attune yourself with God and the Gurus. Material desire is the king of all sense tendencies because it is desire which lures discrimination to follow sense pleasure of idleness, body comfort. How many people come to me and say, I smoke marijuana? I don't know why I do that, I just can't help myself. How many people drink themselves, they are drinking against their will. They don't want to drink, they are forced to drink. Because not only they have their code, their DNA code in their brain, which is already programmed, but it's the evil force which constantly suggests it at the same time. The Lord yearned to behold each man playing his part perfectly in his given role on earth. You see, we have to understand that you have a role assigned to you. There is a script for your life. Do you know which one? That's why you have to advance to the point you know is your role. As the great Miyamoto Musashi, the great swordsman of Japan, 17th century, undefeated, a man of incredible power, said, "The teacher is the needle. The disciple is the thread. You must practice constantly." Therefore, when you take a needle and you take a thread, the thread is usually like that. Therefore, you have to squeeze it like that in your mouth like that and look into it inside. Or have you ever seen a needle threader? Have you ever seen one? The needle thing. There, it comes out. It comes out by itself. You just have to pull it out a little bit there. That's the guru. If you can have your attunement with your guru, you become a needle threader and he's the one who introduces you to God. Without him, forget it. That's why only the guru can tell you exactly what your role is. As I've said many times, when you buy a puzzle, you have the picture on the front. You know what you're going to do. When you are born, God gives you a puzzle and no top. So you say, Lord, where do I find the direction to put the piece together? And the Lord says, that's the test, my friend, intuition. That's not that those things come to me in my head because I begin to see what life is all about, like a colossal puzzle. And most people end their life, they have not finished their puzzle. So they come back to put more pieces. And they get new pieces and it doesn't fit either. So, therefore the Master say, the Lord yearned to behold each man playing his part perfectly, is given all honors. It is misuse of free will that the human being toward the divine plan. Absence of clamor, of egotistical desire, enables us to hear and heed the guiding voice within. Free from self-will, men of wisdom carry their activities effortlessly in accordance with God's design. And from Ashtavakra Samhita, the guru of King Janaka, the great Jani, said, "If you aspire after liberation, my child, shun the object of the senses as poison and seek forgiveness, sincerity, kindness, contentment and truth as nectar." Now in self-realization, we do not ask you to renounce anything. We ask you to control everything, which is much more difficult than with us. As the Master Sri Yukteswarasena Holy Science, many of you would like to be in a monastic order. You are not there because it will not be beneficial for you. The Master said, monastic confinement, fasting, scourging, vigil at night will not necessarily help a person who will not give up his desire. You can live a whole life into a monastic order and keep your desire just as strong. In fact, they become stronger because you have more concentration. So the Master say, if you have kriya, it is your assigned duty to cooperate with the guru who want to liberate you. Every one of you has kriya, the Master say. If God, we are not planning to release you, he would not have given you the desire to know him, and would not have given you the liberating signs of kriya yoga. Because there come the flamethrower, which I'm going to explain to you later on, to destroy in the attic of your subconscious mind all the junk which you have stored for countless incarnations. So the Master say, This attainment of freedom is attained as follows. God created each man as a soul, endowed with individuality. His freedom and final emancipation is final and immediate. If he so will, it depends not on outer, but inner victories. It doesn't matter where you are. It depends upon your inner victories wherever you are. The inner victories, the mother say, consist of being free from all mortal mental desire. When the master translates, what is purity? Does not mean purity to have no sexual desire. The master says purity is to have no other desire but the desire for God. That's true purity of the heart. It is what Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So Lord Krishna says, O Arjuna, the constant enemy of the wise man is the unquenchable flame of desire, which conceals wisdom. Why? Because desire is constantly agitating you. And wisdom, you can only perceive when it stops moving. The moment you are still, intuition comes and instructs you. It is the adhesive force by which all three bodies are bound together. Causal thoughts, astral feeling, and physical matter are all tied together by the power of desire. The adhesive forces are described as unfulfilled desire. Unfulfilled desire remains in the heart. And what is the harm of harboring them? It is this. Every desire consists of specific forces. Now we are talking about cosmic forces of magnetic attraction and repulsion. As long as you live in life with like and dislike, you are caught with desire of the power of attraction and repulsion. When you are become divinely indifferent, when you drop something on the floor, it's happened to me so many times. Here, you have a plate of food, you're going to eat and you drop it on the floor. How do you react? You just clean something, you drop on the mud. It's happened to our beloved mother, Sri Dayamata. Here, a painter went into the place where she resides for periods of time, in the place, and there was the cupboard open with all the saris, which were saris given to her by all the one who loved her. And there were many magnificent saris. There came the painter, climbed the ladder, and just that moment, God wanted to be sure Ma was there. Ma arrived there. The guy dropped the whole pot of paint and over all those saris. Yamatalu, she burst laughing, kept walking. And you can have that kind of life of detachment you offer. And that's what you are learning in the marriage life. Don't be so touchy about everything. Take it. Tell you, we are all taking it from Buddha Ramananda now. I'm telling you, he is some disciplinarian. And every one of us, we take it. Yes, sir. No, sir. At once, sir. Right, no, sir. Yes, sir. That's what I've been doing. Yes, sir, man, the past, no to discredit him at all. But I mean, all of us, when God wants to discipline you in a certain way, he sends the right man. I've had Buddha Dhammananda, teach him how to work. I had Buddha Anandamo, he teach me how to meditate. I got Mokshananda, teach me how to study. And now I get Ramananda, I am learning how to be here. So, as long as you don't like somebody, as long as you resent his discipline, you ask me, you don't resent me. I say, why should I? You are telling the truth. You are giving me a new piece of strategy for me. He embraced me. He said, well, are you really a sincere man? I said, no, I'm just a strategist. So the mother said, unfulfilled desire remain in the heart. And what is the harm of harboring them? This is, every desire consists of specific of either good or evil, or mixtures of both. And when you die, though your body is gone, these forces do not die. They are stored in the astral brain or subconscious mind as mental tabloids. They follow your soul wherever it goes. And when you are reborn, the tabloids manifest as behavioral tendencies. Thus, a person who has died an alcoholic brings with him a tendency to alcoholism when he's reborn, and it remains with him until he has overcome the desire for alcohol. Tell you, I was reborn in a cafe restaurant in Geneva, and I had all the alcohol in the world to drink, and the fellows used to say to my mother, "What's wrong with your son?" And I said, "What's wrong with him? We never drunk." Well, I was blessed, because if I would ever get drunk, I got so sick, so utterly sick, it was not worth doing it. So somehow God, my guru, put a mechanism in me. And when I asked with the Yamata, I said, "Mother, did I drink a lot in past life?" He said, "Yes, you did." So until we overcome whatever passion we have, whatever problem we have, whatever it is, we can't get through. The behavior of even the smallest child reveals certain characteristics of past life. Some children have terrible temper tantrums. Others are moody. God did not make them that way. Unfulfilled desire of past life fashion those psychological tendencies, and because of them, the soul, even though made in the image of God, appears as something different. If the image of God within you is distorted in this life by anger or fear, and do not conquer such uncharacteristic qualities now, you will be reborn with them, and you will have the burden of this misery creating tendency until you welcome them to some future incarnation. I had, as a Swiss, terribly critical attitude about everything. And boy, did I get, man. I was with the head of the public relation, and it was endless criticism about everything. In fact, the person was so nagging that it was worse than my wife when I was married. I went to the Yamata, I said, "Mother, I thought my wife was bad, but my Lord, I found somebody worse right here." And that constant nagging was to show me what kind of person I was. Because anything you are cognizing, not worldly, has a relative vibration within yourself. You draw automatically, magnetically. There's nothing to you happen which you have not deserved. Therefore, those specific forces have to be destroyed. It is better, therefore, to work out or overcome all your desire now. They will be finished immediately and for all time, in the supreme joys of God's presence. Not until you know Him, your unconquered desire will remain and hound you. That's why our salvation is meditation, because each time you meditate, the Master says, each time you see the light, even if you don't see it, you wait. Each time you see that light, beneficial change are taking place into your brain cells. Desires beginning to be removed. O Arjuna, attachment and repulsions of the senses for specific objects are nature ordained. But let no one come under the influence of these two psychological qualities. Verily, they are his enemies. Attachment for the outwards brings as its fruit the perpetual increase of evil mind's images. Knowing this and putting outward things by discernment, let him place his attachments into the self. Become more concerned of the self you are going to bring out of your body. Because when you die, you will see that this body was not you, that mind was not you, and all your life you took care of somebody else. That's why I call instant wisdom when you go to Forest Lawn. Go to Forest Lawn, walk in those corridors. When you have all kind of trouble coming to you, walk into those hallways in Forest Lawn and go and see your guru there. There is our guru's place where his body is still kept there. Therefore, you walk in those corridors and you find out that all your problems are they that important. What am I doing with my life? In Switzerland, we do that very regularly. You know, it's not a morbid habit, but we pay respect to our people, to our family. Do you go to cemeteries to pay respect to your parents who are dead, anything like that? Or it is not an American custom. It surely is a European one. And each time there is something to learn. There are two ways of finishing your desires. By realizing through reason and discrimination, or wisdom, that only God can give permanent happiness. Why? Because the dual scale of Maya balances every pleasure with a pain. You can't have love and without hatred. You cannot have joy without sorrow. You cannot have beauty without ugliness. You cannot have peace without restlessness. But you can have bliss, the unchanging state of your own self. So Lord Krishna says, O Arjuna, be anchored in that which is changeless. And Ashtavakra says, salutation to that which is perfect, your own soul. And the Master say here that only God can give you permanent happiness and by fulfillment. In many cases, desire lies hidden within the subconscious mind. You think that they are finished, but they are not. Life is indeed a great mystery, but the mystery clears away when you dissect life with a scalpel of reason. If every day you sit quietly for a little while and analyze yourself, you will discover that you have many unsatisfied desires. You know what kind of disease they create in you? Those subconscious, subtle, unsatisfied desires are a state of frustration, a state of hostility, a state of anger. That's what it is. We are all frustrated because bubbling within ourselves are unfulfilled desires. My motto in life was to be either rich or dead. I was born like that. I was in 1950, I was going to go to the Amazon River to look for diamonds or for gold. And my friend conked out because we had a 50-50 chance to die. Well, I said to us, well, one or the other. But I found different gold in this lifetime, better one. I've been walking in the Amazon River of my own brain forever. A lot of jungle there. If every day you sit quietly for a little while and analyze yourself, you'll discover that you have many unsatisfied desires. And they are like dangerous germs that you carry through life. And wherever you go, in this life or next, they will go with you. Now, don't get depressed at what I'm going to show you, because this time I won't forget to tell you that's the grace of God. Now, I made some dots here. And let's say the whole sheet is with dots, and the sheet is as big as this one. And that means the unfulfilled desires of countless incarnations. You see a little bit? Next time I make them bigger. Okay. That's not exactly the best, but I just for the last minutes. All those values dot there are all the unfulfilled desire located in your subconscious mind. Every incarnation, you work a little bit at a time. And in the meantime, you're creating new ones. Isn't it? So it's called the everlasting, what Jesus spoke of, the everlasting fire of ceaseless unfulfilled desire. What is the hell? That's the hell, not some place where you're burning. You're burning with unfulfilled desire. This is the real hell. So only with Kriya, when you can go where those individuals... Look, you have records on your home, right? 50, 60, 100 records of different music and play, right? They are, you cannot hear them. You have to put into a recording machine, put the needle, and you begin to listen any music you want at any time. Well, your subconscious mind has millions of records. And what triggers them? Your environment. And who? It's known as the advertising power. If you have read the book by Dichter, The Strategy of Desire, one of the greatest advertisers in the world, then you will see what is being done to you. The ceaseless pain. Oh, I need medicine. I don't feel, oh, my stomach doesn't feel so good. Give me a bit quickly, give me some access. Constant suggestion that you are the body and stuff like that. You have to resist that media, that television. It is that which triggers within you those multi-personalities and various desires of past life. Therefore, the best course to follow is to do away with all dangerous desires in this life, discrimination, and to concentrate on fulfilling your good desire. If you feel drawn to commit suicide or to do something evil, get rid of such desire now. Don't play around that kind of desire. Convince yourself by reason and good action that you are a child of God made in His image and rise above your moods and bodily habits. Be more detached. God, somebody see a bird who is locked up somewhere and they go bananas around here. It's a bird, if we looked up. There are millions of children dying of starvation right now. I don't worry about cats and dogs. What's your values? How attached you are to everything. Nothing is tangible in this world. Don't get attached to anything. When people leave this body, they don't shed a tear. My mother just died. I don't have a single tear. So happy I am for her, because I know where she is now. That's a different approach to our life, isn't it? He's in a much better place. So be more detached. In this way, you will conquer. My father died of sorrow, 38 years old. He died of sorrow. He killed himself in his own mind. He wept, have a broken heart. Became 3 months and he destroyed himself. By just the vesicle bile blew up by so much sorrow within himself. And poor me, he was too attached. And he said, in this way you will conquer. If you suffer a chronic ailment, try mentally to separate yourself from consciousness of the body. By discrimination, you can conquer the senses. Discrimination is the fire that burn up desire. It is a general practice to store up in the attic of all of one unwanted, unnecessary junk, and once a while to have a good house cleaning. Similarly, hidden away in the attic of your subconscious mind are many potentially harmful desires that one day may give you great trouble. They're called ticking bombs. They can be started by the kind of environment you are in. It is important, therefore, to analyze yourself. Perhaps you are a hateful or moody or angry type of a person. If these are stored traits, are the result of your own past behavior. In order to clean out your mental attic of such unwanted furnishing, you must vigorously employ constructive, positive, and loving actions. Now, can you classify your desires? I sorted mine and kept only the good one. And when I had the contact with God, I found all those good desires at once fulfilled. Today, you wish for one thing and tomorrow you anchor after something else. Your mind, having descended from the Almighty God, is not satisfied with the offering of this world. And it will never be satisfied because you have lost your soul's richest treasure, which alone can satisfy all you desire, and that is God. It is true, there are some good and necessary desires, and should strive to fulfill them, but never forget, while pursuing your little desire, to satisfy first your supreme desire for God. Well, you say, man, I haven't got that kind of desire for God. How do I build the desire for God? By first knowing what God is. First aspect of God, cosmic intelligence. That's the first aspect of God. What do you do? Build your goal, become a divine strategist, use your intelligence to analyze what life goal is. Cosmic light. God is cosmic light. You meditate, gradually you will see that light. It will bless you and transform you. This cosmic sound. Listen nothing but beautiful music. Me, each time I watch my moods and I put specific music to reintegrate. When I get restless, I put, for instance, monk singing. Gregorian singing. When I am dull, I put Handel's trumpet work. I go from one tape to the other. When I need a boost, an hypodermic boost, I put sound. God is sound. God is cosmic wisdom. Develop a greater wisdom. God is cosmic joy. Make life beautiful. Be joyful about life. And that consists of being positive. It's cosmic peace. It's cosmic beauty. There is a lot of beauty. Have you ever visited the Paul Getty Museum? If you're not, you have deprived you of something of extremely beautiful. It's cosmic love. You find that in married life. It is cosmic bliss. Therefore, the Master says, as long as you are human, you cannot but have desire. Being human, then, how can you realize your divinity? The first, have rational desire, not what you want, but what you need. Differentiate between what you want and what you get to need. Example, I'm not going to trap you. How many of you who have Kriya have an altar like that in your room? I don't say about it. I say 8x10, not little things like that. A real 8x10 and you have an altar in your room. How many of you? Now that's fulfilling real desire to spiritualize you. When you put a little corner and you put those masters there, you will see how your consciousness changes. And you cannot fool around when you have those masters looking at you. You know why? Because they are alive. They are alive. The masters say, well, you got pictures. They are not looking at you. You are the pictures. They are looking at you. You are the prey. I'm not making it out. The master said so. So I say, first have rational desire, and then stimulate your desire for noble things, for love, dignity, beauty, joy, peace, wisdom. All these are different aspects of God and your own true self. You are that. That's what you are. You don't have to look for perfection. You are already perfect. But you have to be able to manifest that perfection of your own soul. You, the mother say, to stimulate desire for noble things and all the while trying to attain bliss consciousness. You will feel the cord of your individual attachment to various desires is being automatically snapped. That is to say, from the calm center of bliss, you will ultimately learn to disown. Now, I'm talking about surrender. There is a technique in meditation. You have a wrong desire. You place it at the point between the eyebrows and the spiritual eye, and then you offer that wrong desire at the feet of God. And you hold that desire at the feet of God until you are free. Learn to do that. All those unnecessary desires, offer them to God. Remember what the science of origin says. That's one of the points I want you to know, because many of you do not really take God seriously. The mother say, if God is not conceived in such a way that we cannot do without Him in the satisfaction of a want, in our dealing with people, in earning money, in reading a book, in passing an examination, in the doing of the most trifling or the highest duties, then it is plain that we have not felt any connection between God and life. There you are. So the master say, you stimulate yourself to have good desire, and you will find that the various desires being automatically snapped, that is to say, from the calm center of bliss, you will ultimately learn to disown your own petty desires and to feel only those which seem urged by great law. It is what Jesus meant when he said, not my will, but thy will be done. Not doing nothing and say, oh, God is going to do everything, but giving all your desires to him. And remember, desire alone are the world, and therefore renounce them all. The renunciation of desire is the renunciation of the world. Now you may live everywhere. And a soul who is guided by cosmic wisdom knows that he came on earth principally for the fulfillment of the divine plan, the medium of his own past actions. Hence, the man who has mastered his desire quickly see that endless rebirths are caused by self-created desire, so he forsakes all fruit of actions, and instead of inactivity, perform all activities with the sole desire to please God and fulfill the cosmic plan. As you become more and more spiritual, instead of meditation, you find the Lord giving you more and more work to help others. That's the first thing you notice. They begin to grab you in every possible direction. Many of the good members have said to me, Who is me, man? How am I doing? Or so many things. I say, hallelujah. I say, you are lucky. You are lucky because God can't find anybody else. He has got hold of you. You are making a lot of good karma, believe me. So the Master say, 1925, he said those words. Live simply. Do not be caught in the machine of the world. It is too exacting. By the time you get what you are seeking, your nerves are gone, the heart is damaged, and the bones are aching. 1925, imagine now. We are moving faster to that now. Laugh at the world. Have happiness now. If you have that, you have everything. So learn to be glad and content. Simplify your life and do not try to show off in any way. Most people suffer because they live beyond their limits. Remember, you are responsible for yourself and the world will not answer for your deeds. That is why you should remain yourself each day. My most important engagement is with God. And I will go from now on in the karma, the laws of karma. I will bring you many examples and the various techniques to work out your karma. So, as a general statement, desire, and from their own come the whole catastrophe, as Zorba the Greek said. The whole catastrophe, the whole karmic involvement. As you have less and less and less and less materialistic desire, more and more and more you will have desire for God and meditation. Why? Because desire dilutes your will. What is desire? What is will? The will is desire plus energy. Therefore, you are constantly using will. And I must say, your only savior is willpower. So you have to now, if you want to advance spiritually, gradually cut all the chain of desires which forces you to reincarnate. And that can only be done when you begin steadfastly to meditate. We have our love offerings. Oh, you are born in America. If you are born in America, you can do everything.